B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Being in Boston, it's just everywhere. How are you dealing with all of this speculation and seemingly everybody knowing where you're going more so than you know?
Well, I can only say how I feel, and that's, you know, what's the truth to me and what's authentic to me. And you're right. I have no decisions that I've made, and there won't be for any considerable time. So I know there's speculation. There always is. That's just part of being in professional sports and being a professional athlete. And, you know, when people aren't talking about this season, they want to talk about next season. And the reality is next season's quite a ways away. So I have some other things that are happening at this time. Like I said, spending some time with my family and my loved ones and giving them the time they need. And then as people begin to plan for next season, like I said, these things will take care of themselves.
So there's more Brady with Gray, and that will be my DN Van Lines move around the league. Is Tom Brady moving around the league? 65 days until his contract expires. It's Brady Watch Day 9, that I know. Brady Watch Day 9, we're counting up. NBC Sports Boston's counting down. Is that 65 or 63? I can't see. God, that's annoying.
I think that's a 5. I can't see.
God, what is that?
A 5.
65.
65.
65 days until his contract expires. Brady Watch Day 9. That's the DN Van Lines move around the league. Is Tom Brady going to move around the league? Making a league move requires research and a little guesswork, something you don't need when you call my mover, DN Van Lines, dnvanlines.com. The Brady latest on the table, the Alex Cora stuff, and it's the Houston Astros story, but this relates to Alex Cora. That's on the table. Everything from divisional weekend on the table to your phones here as promised. Kevin in the car on Brady. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, what's up, guys? So I love Brady. I don't want to see him go. And that's just a personal take on me. I'm a fan. I've watched him play for many years. And, you know, I'm willing to give a little bit more than for any other quarterback. I mean, the guy is special to me, you know. So if it means that we got to give a little more, I mean, it's Tom Brady. I mean, how much more can you say?
So, look, I understand. I mean, I wouldn't agree with it. But, like, this is why I always say, just from where I sit, because, you know, like, it's a personal thing. Perillo came in here last week and said, even if it's not the best thing for the team, I want Brady to finish his career. Because that's just how Paul is wired. He says, you know, I have no problem with the fact that Larry Bird never played anywhere else, even though that may have hurt the team long term. I'm glad I never had to watch him in an Indiana Pacer uniform or anything like that. I preferred it that way. And if it's not the best thing for the team, then it's not the best thing for the team. But I love the player so much, and he's meant so much for me, I don't want him to go anywhere else. And if that's the way you feel, that's a personal feeling. There's no right, there's no wrong. So I'm not telling you that you should be ready for the next chapter. I am. And it's not just that I'm not a Boston guy. Let me, because I thought about this too. It's like when Paul Molitor went to the Toronto Blue Jays and won a championship, I was so freaking happy for the guy. I was rooting for the guy. I didn't feel one little thing like, no, don't go anywhere else. When Robin Yount finished with the Brewers, I'm like, dude, get out. Get out and go win something. Or Favre. I couldn't wait to get rid of Brett Favre. And if someone offers the Packers 4 first round picks tomorrow for Aaron Rodgers, bye bye. See ya. So, like, I'm not wired like that, but it's a personal thing. Some people like chocolate. Some people like strawberry. And so, anyway, like, I am ready for the next chapter with Tom Brady and the Patriots and all of that. And if you're not, I don't blame you one single bit. But what's best for the team, I think, is pretty much to rip the Band-Aid and let's move on to the next chapter.
And I'm normally one of those people, and I had been up until this season. If it's going to be as clunky as this season was, and if Brady's going to go through this season, even if he gets the money and the years, but he doesn't feel like he's got a good enough surrounding cast and he's going to mope throughout the year, even when they're winning games like they did against Buffalo and Washington and Philly, and after those games he's like, it's as if someone shot his dog in front of him, then it's time to move on. Like, go to another team with better weapons, see if you can win a championship there. I'll root for you there and start over here.
I mean, you know, you said you not just because you're from Wisconsin. I am from here, and I would like them to move on. And I used to think like Perillo did. I used to get emotional about the players in this town. I've just been desensitized to it because over the years now, those guys go. It's just what happens. So, and obviously I'm a lot older now, too. There's a difference. But I just think that, I don't know, I feel like it got to this stage now, it's only going to It's only going to get worse. I don't think it's going to get better. I think it's going to get worse.
Alan in Florida on Alex Cora. What are your thoughts, Alan?
Well, I Matt, you remember the other day you told me I was not. You didn't use the word crazy. You told me I was way off when I said he was either going to get fired and suspended and fired. And you said no, 50 games. Anyway, I'm going to tell you something. John Henry, like you said, there is no choice. He has to get fired, and you're gonna really laugh at me, Matt. So I'll give you some real material. You know the Cubs hired David Ross, right?
Yeah.
No managerial experience. Okay. You said some of the players are going to be perturbed. I agree with you. You're going to say I'm crazy, but I'd look at Jason Veritek. Same thing as David Ross. You got to start anew. They're going to have a couple of rough years. He can get along with the players. He's got a good brain. Everyone likes him. He's a likable guy. He can get along with the Boston press. And I don't know what John Henry's waiting for. He's going to wait to see what comes down.
So let me just tell you something, Alex. Jason Veritek is so much more qualified than David Ross, it's not even funny.
From the baseball acumen, yeah.
Yeah, no, meaning in terms of he's actually had jobs in baseball as an instructor, a roving instructor. He's coached. He's been in the system now for a couple of years. He hasn't managed, but he's been. David Ross has been on GN, has been broadcasting. I mean, ESPN next to Smoltz up in the booth for crying out loud. And then didn't he work for WGN last year or something?
Yeah, very different personality than Veritek, though.
But all I'm saying is that I'm willing to give Jason Veritek the job, Murray, just so I don't have to hear people call up and say Jason Veritek should be the next manager.
Yeah, that's reason enough. Here's another
one. Oh, my God.
How about Buck Showalter?
Love it.
Knows the American League.
Love it.
He's a hard ass. He can deal with the media.
See, you know, in another era, that's what we would get. We would get a big name, you know, whether you liked him or not, it'd be a, you know, someone to come in and, but now it's not. It's going to be some nerd. Some nerd bench coach, you know, who takes the stats and who we've never heard of, or a player who has zero experience, hasn't even managed T-ball.
I couldn't even begin to tell you what they're going to do. I have no idea. No idea. And the reason the Cubs hired Ross, my only point with that was that the managers are making game decisions anymore. They give him the sheet and he just goes by the paper.
Exactly.
It's about sort of creating a nice culture.
Yeah, there was a million stories of how good he was in the room in that World Series championship.
Yeah, so Veritek's intense. He's intense.
Think about him then. I'm for it.
No. My point is that could burn out in the room. I mean, maybe not. He's very.
Those babies need that.
Well, no. They need a babysitter.
Right. And he's not a babysitter. He's not a babysitter. I'm not sure he wants to do it either. I mean, I can't tell you the last time I talked to him. But he's intense. I mean, he's not going to go purely by the numbers all the time.
I think this is the story with the Red Sox now. Cora's going to be suspended at least a year. The Houston ownership fired their guy. John Henry, I think, is going to be pushed into the corner to fire his guy. Who knows? Maybe they were encouraged to do it by Major League Baseball.
So I was just going to say, remember, they announced this on a Monday. Okay? They announced it on a Monday. So they're not afraid for it to be out there the whole week, first of all. Secondly, the teams have probably known this was coming down for days. And I wonder, did the owner of the Astros, Crane and John Henry, already talk about what they're going to do on their own? Maybe Manfred says, you guys do what you want. But here's what your penalties are.
But if Houston fires their guy, how does Boston not fire their guy? That doesn't look good. We've got Mike and Waltham on the Sox. Go, Mike.
Guys, thanks for taking my call. Quick take on the Red Sox Cora situation. I completely agree with the last caller. I don't know what they're waiting for. Basically, it kind of looks like our ownership knew about this going into that hire, and something tells me that Mookie – And his reluctancy to resign here, it directly has to do with his reluctancy to engage in this cheating. And it's not like the players have a choice.
Wait, how do you know that?
Thanks, guys.
How do you know he didn't take the signs like everybody else?
Yeah, he may have, but maybe against his will.
Mookie, it's a curveball. No, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Dong. Mookie, it's a fastball. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. All right, dong. He won the freaking MVP 2 years ago. What are you talking about?
I mean, based on how he played last year, he should have been taking it more.
I mean, like,
all of a sudden he's a choir boy.
Yeah, no. He's taking the moral high ground on the thing, and that's why he wants out, because I can't be associated with these cheaters. Where are you getting that from?
No idea.
Come on with this. Would you please? Paul in Rhode Island on Brady. Hi, Paul. You gotta take us off hold, okay? You gotta take us or turn your radio down or your TV down or whatever that is. Joe in Lincoln, you're up next with Felger and Mass. Go, Joe.
Hey, here's what I feel about Brady in retirement. If we can get the Brady from the last Buffalo game where suddenly Jacoby Myers, who he wouldn't throw to when he was open in the Kansas City game to get a first down, suddenly he's able to throw to the open guy. What changed in the Buffalo game? The Brady from the other games, I think he's got much more to lose than to win by coming back and playing with anybody.
Okay, more to lose than win.
Agreed.
I think there's something to that, in that he's going out on top. And I know, like, it sounds weird saying that today because they suffered a bad loss last week and he didn't have a good year. But trust me, when you step back, and in a broad sense, he's still on top. He's not going out on the back of some golf cart. He's not going out having lost 63-7 in his final playoff game like Dan Marino. He's not going out a shell of himself. The numbers weren't there, but he still looks, sounds, acts like Tom Brady. They still won 12 games. It's like, relatively speaking, he's still on top. He still has his professional dignity by a large amount. So if he hung it up now, I still think he's going out on top. It could be worse. He could look like Dan Marino or Peyton Manning at the end.
Absolutely. Look, this is why I say I was ready to move on a long time ago and I was wrong. Okay, I couldn't have been more wrong about it. But I think we are all at a stage now where we recognize the thing is deteriorating. And so, this isn't about me saying, well, eventually I'm going to be right and I'm pulling a Max Kellerman or something. I'm not doing that. I just think that this thing is only... I don't feel good about what it could look like.
But it's right. The eventually right thing. Like, eventually Murray's going to be right about Garoppolo. He's eventually going to throw that interception that loses in the game. It's going to happen.
I know, but that's not why I'm saying it now.
That's why Murray's saying it.
I know, but yes, I'm not just doing it to stubbornly adhere to the take. I just think that it's run its course. It's run its course. And it's time to move on, and I would prefer they move on.
Okay, your thoughts on everything, all three items, right after these words.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Titans in the pistol. Mariota. Now he goes in motion. Direct snap. Derrick Henry throws it. Jump pass in the end zone. Touchdown, Titans! Henry to Corey Davis. Oh my goodness, that play is from the 1800s.
That's a jump pass for the ages right there. What a tremendous, tremendous play call and great execution.
The Titans, big plays when they need it, trick plays when they need it. That long bomb touchdown by Tannehill after the sudden change, was that after the interception or they stopped him on fourth and one?
First play.
It was after the pick. He goes up top to a guy who's like caught like five balls all year. Or
I don't think
like
he
this.
Even had that many.
Yeah,
I think it was like two or three catches.
Yeah,
a hell of a play.
But again, see, that to me is the Vrabel part of it. Like, he's saying, well, they're going to take these guys away. They'll never expect this because this is someone that wasn't even on the field. And when the play that we just played, the Henry touchdown pass, when they lined up, I went, oh, what are you doing?
Same. Yeah, Mariota out there. Like, what's this goofy crap? Like, you're trying to get too cute.
Right. What are you doing, Mariota? For crying out loud, just stick with what you got. And then the play happened, and I went, okay, you got me. Like, so he was, he was a step ahead of everybody all the time.
So this narrative about how it was actually wide open for the Patriots has really pissed off Murray.
It has.
Maz's email. So after that first quarter yesterday in Houston, in Kansas City, where Houston's up 24-0, I was lamenting how the Pats could have lost to Miami. How did that happen? But after the Chiefs turned it around, I take that back at least a little bit. Still, the bottom line, says Maz, is that the AFC was there for the taking and they blew it. Murray chimes in. No, Maz, take it back all the way, all caps. Of all the things that annoyed the bleep out of me this weekend, of which there were many, nothing came close to the blood-boiling aggravation of Maz, Zoe, McCarthy, and delusional Patriot honks on Twitter lamenting how the Pats quote-unquote blew it while watching Baltimore lose and the first quarter of that KC game. The Pats didn't blow anything. They got exactly what they deserved with that home loss to Miami in Week 17. They weren't a great team. Hell, they were borderline good. Again, their last 10 games were far more indicative of who they really were. 5-5, the epitome of mediocrity. The defense benefited from a historically easy schedule, which helped them pump up their fake stats and big egos. The offense was trash. Beating Miami would have only delayed the inevitable. All caps, they got what they deserved. I mean, I agree. I mean, both can be true, Murray. You see, they could be a flawed team that was a fraud defense. The stats didn't accurately say who they were. And if you get the bye and let everybody else puke on themselves, you can still go to the Super Bowl. Haven't we learned this yet?
Yeah, but they weren't good enough. They didn't deserve that. Again, I
they didn't deserve it. Fine, but sometimes you get what you don't deserve.
And you're discounting that Miami loss at the end of the year, too, because Miami was playing well for the last month of the season. They got them at a bad time. The defense, again, overrated. So that game played out the way that it should have.
Murray,
not to mention, even these teams that were left, even Houston, who got smoked yesterday after being up 24-0, they lost to all these teams. They didn't deserve to play them again.
Murray,
this season.
There is no way they should lose to Miami, even in their current state, at home with a bye on the line.
Thank you.
There's just no way. No way.
Yeah, what this season did? They did. They did.
Right. So they blew it. They blew it. Dead. And again, 3 minutes to go, needing to give up a touchdown to lose, and they gave up a touchdown to Ryan freaking Fitzpatrick. Like, that's the one that I look at. Like, holy crap, that's what cost you.
I still look at every team in the AFC other than the Titans, who've got balls, but they're just limited. Everyone else wants to blow it. Baltimore wanted to blow it and blew it. KC, again, that team, they have it all in front of them. Going into that game yesterday, the Patriots are knocked out. Baltimore is knocked out. Home field advantage throughout for the AFC title game is standing them right in front of them with the bum Texans. And Kansas City comes out, drop on first down, first series. Disgusting blown coverage on Houston's. You see Deshaun Watson's first touchdown pass?
Stills was wide open.
Drop, blown coverage, drop, dropped punt, blocked punt for a touchdown, drop, blown coverage. That's how Kansas City responds to the position they're in. They wanted to blow that. They did blow it. So Baltimore pukes on themselves. Kansas City pukes on themselves. Recovers, but pukes on themselves. Houston, a disaster of a team. That's the field. All you have to do is just sit there and watch the rest of them puke on themselves. You could have still been in this spot. You still wouldn't have been a great team, Murray. You may not have, quote unquote, deserved it, but you still could have been alive. You easily could have been alive today.
I mean, how I felt. I have never seen a team, in all seriousness, and with all the hyperbole and exaggeration that exists on this program and on these airwaves, I don't think I've ever seen a team look more inept than Kansas City in the first quarter yesterday.
Oh, they were half asleep. They were doing all the Kansas City playoff things. I couldn't believe it. You know, the Stills thing, it's like, okay, it was a busted play. The guy was wide open. And then, like, block punt.
Drop punt.
Mess.
My God. Kelsey with the drop. Hardman with the drop. Tyreek Hill.
Allen Robinson.
Oh, just one after the next.
They had three or four drop passes, a blown coverage, a block punt, a drop punt, and a drop kickoff.
That's how they seize the day. Let's seize the day by completely sharding our pants at home.
But then when they woke up, they were frightening.
Sure.
Seven straight touchdowns. That offense is just ridiculous.
And Houston's complicit. Houston, dropping kickoffs. They start dropping punts. They start going for fake punts. So Houston lets them back in, and then it's a steamroll. But KC wanted to blow it. Houston wanted to blow it. Baltimore wanted to blow it. Tennessee's the only team that's got their head screwed on straight, but they're severely limited. If you had just taken care of business and stood there and let everyone else do their thing, you'd still be alive. This is the point.
When Houston fumbled that kickoff and the ball popped straight up in the air and that number 34 caught it, and then he hesitated, I'm like, oh my God. Like, and I think having watched it a few times, I didn't see anything written about it. I think he was waiting for a block because he thought he wasn't going to be able to make it. But I'm like, this guy, they want to give him a touchdown and he won't even take it.
Go.
For crying out loud, what are you doing? Like, the ball, have you ever seen anything as bananas as the first two quarters of that game?
Insane.
It was unbelievable. Neither team could hold on to the ball.
Two teams with no ball control. None. That's the competition, Murray.
Yeah, and I still, again, but I don't think you're giving the competition enough credit. I know those games were wonky, but I didn't think about the
Patriots. No one knows how to win.
I didn't think about the Patriots once this weekend, and you people with your revisionist history are the Pats.
No one knows how to win. Tennessee's the only team that knows how to win, and they don't have a quarterback. Their quarterback's throwing for under 100 yards a game. Real tough to go all the way with that. I'd take my chances again.
Oh, when the Texans were up 24-0, I thought about the Patriots, Murray. I thought about
totally
them hard.
Did.
I went, oh like my
Baltimore
God.
And KC are getting knocked off at home, and you couldn't stop Ryan Fitzpatrick. Come on,
I've quite enjoyed watching the Titans these last couple of weeks, so I'm rooting for them. That's my team, and nobody wants them there either, too. So the spite factor. Oh, the Titans! It's going to be bad for the league. Billions of people are going to tune in anyway. So I want the Titans there.
I want Mahomes in the Super Bowl. I want Mahomes in the Super Bowl. I won't be bent out of shape if Tennessee gets in, because I love the Vrabel story. I do. I think it's awesome.
And I find Tennessee entertaining in their own way.
They are. They're fun. I mean, they're old school.
Winning the way they're winning. That's a throwback. It's unique.
Yeah, they're punishing people too. I mean, they're physical. They're tough.
And I'll tell you.
You know what? Their defense is good.
I'll even just get. You know, I'll be totally honest. I like watching Derrick Henry. Well, that's a real throwback. Him just leaning on people like it's, you don't see that every day. That is an old school mentality, and I'll take it as a change up, as something different. So
and Tannehill going and winning the Super Bowl in Miami. How awesome would that be?
So I mean, you could have Mahomes v. Rodgers and a shootout for the ages. You know, 30-something, 30-something, 40-something, 40-something. Or you could have San Fran, Tennessee, and they're going to each run it on each other. I'll take it all. I don't care. I'm not saying one's going to suck. One's going to be great. One.
Mahomes and Jimmy G. There we go. That's the one. Mahomes and Jimmy G. Two guys who basically took down Brady. Two of them, Murray.
Be a big Chiefs fan that day. They haven't been to a Super Bowl in 50 years. Ton of reason to root for him.
I'm kidding. Obviously, Garoppolo got taken down by Brady ultimately. But Garoppolo, Mahomes, two, you know, I mean, I don't want to call Garoppolo young anymore, but, oh, man, that would be fun. That'd be a fun game.
Okay, so that's your reset on the divisional weekend. Your thoughts on everything right after Murray's update. On a re-entry Monday, which is now brought to you by our friends at East Boston Savings Bank.
Yep, re-entry Monday presented by East Boston Savings Bank. So if you're looking to finance a home mortgage or maybe a commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account, visit ebsb.com. East Boston Savings Bank, getting it done since 1848.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Man.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
24-7 Houston. 8:32 to go, second quarter. That's a fake punt. They fake the right side. It's tackled. Short of the first down. Great play. Dirty Dan Sorensen would not be fooled. A gain of two on third down and four. Stopping the fake punt. Lit by the special teams play, died by the special teams play. And right there, he was not fooled. Credit to Dave Tobe having his guys coached up and ready to go. And now the ball on the Texans' 33-yard line. The Chiefs right here. They've got to take advantage of this. The momentum, it comes and it goes. But the confidence, it grows. And right now it's growing for Kansas City.
What a great job by Dan Sorensen to stay disciplined, Kendall. Fourth and four, fake punt goes for 2 yards.
So according to Murray, and he was nice and angry this morning.
That's a long email.
You wonder if there should be another opening for Josh McDaniels after that one. Bill O'Brien going for the fake punt. Murray writes, Bill O'Brien's key card shouldn't work at the team facility this morning. What an absolute incredible a-hole. So you choose to kick a field goal at 4th and 1, and the next time you touch the ball after Casey has a little momentum, you decide to completely flip the game on its head by going for a fake punt in your own territory? Unbelievable. I mean, he says, I mean it when I say that that's the dumbest play I've seen in the NFL playoffs since Pete's decision to throw in Super Bowl 49. And I'm not even kidding. And then this a-hole said in his postgame presser that they needed to score 50 to win. Then go for it rather than choosing to go for the field goal, a-hole. He's truly the worst. I don't know how you don't fire him.
Oh, and I stand by that. I mean, he still has that job is unbelievable. And I don't know if you heard any of his postgame press conference, too. Like, He's just a mealy-mouthed fool, and that's how he comes off in any of these big losses that he's had down there. I mean, that team is underachieved. I legitimately feel bad for Deshaun Watson, who I think is a stud, but he's locked to a terrible coach and a bad franchise. Like, oh, God, I feel bad for him because he's going to end up wallowing there the rest of his career until, you know, maybe when he's a free agent, some team pays for him. Get him out of there. I want Deshaun Watson away from Bill O'Brien.
Back. I don't think you could possibly overstate the stupidity of that decision. That's really unbelievable.
Back to your thoughts, as promised. Michael and Methuen, what do you got on the weekend?
Yeah, I was just going to say that play that you were talking about, that long pass that they call for the touchdown in the Titans-Ravens game, it came right after Lamar Jackson failed on 4th-and-1.
Yep.
And that was just so Vrabel getting it from the Patriots. The Patriots did the same thing against the Steelers in the AFC Championship game back in 2004. They stuffed Bettis. The next thing,
yep,
they went over the top to Branch for a touchdown early, late in the first quarter of that game. And the other thing, Mike, about the Chiefs, I think the Chiefs were a little bit too amped up yesterday, because I think they figured they were going to go to bed Saturday night thinking that they had to go to Baltimore the next week, and when Baltimore ended up losing, they just woke up with a little arrowhead in their.
They woke up with a load in their pants is what they woke up with. That's how you seize the day. After the Patriots get knocked out and the number one seed loses, and now it all goes through your building. You show up and go drop blown coverage, drop fumbled punt, block punt, touchdown. That's how you open that game. Everyone in the AFC wants to barf on themselves, Mass.
Yeah,
still, whether you're in it or not, they are still the same.
He says that they were a little too amped up. I said that they went to bed and realized all they had to do was win to host the AFC Championship game, and they gagged. They couldn't catch the ball. They were dropping everything, including punts and kickoffs.
Okay, meanwhile, the Cora situation is percolating. Ethan on Cape Cod with a thought. Go ahead, Ethan.
So managed the Lowell Spinners, managed Pawtucket Red Sox, bench coach for the Red Sox, bench coach for the Mets, Gary DeSarcina.
Ah,
Tony, what do you think?
Okay, Maz.
So I don't mind the idea. I don't mind that one. I think last I heard, he was out in Anaheim with Socha, right? But now obviously they made a change out there. And it wasn't even Socha, it was Osmus. I don't know where he is.
So this is what we're talking about.
I'd engage on something like that, sure.
Again, if you're just joining us, Major League Baseball suspended A.J. Hinch and the Houston general manager for a season, and then Houston ownership came up on top and fired him. And reports are that Alex Cora is going to get a suspension worse than A.J. Hinch. So if Hinch gets a year and then gets fired, isn't John Henry sort of boxed into doing the same thing? Pitchers and catchers report in just over a month, this is what we're talking about, the Red Sox may need a new manager, not just for this year, but permanently. And so we're sort of banding about some names. Paul in Rhode Island with a thought on Brady. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Hi, Mike. Hi, Maz. Hi, Mary.
Hi, go.
I'm going to tell you right now. This is going to be one of the years that we have to cough up the money. 1 year, $36 million. And there's no way, if whether Metcalf or Hollister comes over.
Paul?
They have a relationship between New England and
okay, who's the Metcalf he's talking about?
DK Metcalf, I guess.
Okay, he can't. He's not available. 1 year, 36. Try 1 year, 16.
Over Belichick's dead body.
Here's 1 year, $16 million. Tom, you want it? Maybe we'll give you some incentives that you're not going to reach. How badly do you want to play?
And I love him, but one at 36. Holy crap!
I mean, that's how I feel it's going to go. That's what Bill wants to do. 1 year at 15. Your contract 2 years ago called for $15 million. So we gave you some incentives. We'll do the same thing. 1 year, 15, and some incentives that you're not going to hit. Take it or leave it. And then Brady's going to cry, and then Kraft's going to step in, and now we're, you know, is Kraft going to back Belichick this time? That's sort of the question to me.
Honestly, I couldn't possibly predict who's going to do what. Because for this thing to work, somebody's got to cave, either Brady or Kraft.
Mike in Rhode Island on the AFC field. Yes, Michael.
You know what? It's kind of like you guys sound like my son's fourth grade class saying, oh, the Pats would have beat everybody this weekend. First of all, Houston threw up 24 points against Kansas City in their own building. Kansas City goes back and throws up 51 against them. You guys couldn't have done that. You couldn't have scored 24 points against anybody this year. Okay? Could you imagine the boogeymen in KC this weekend? Whoa. I mean,
they wouldn't have been in KC. That's the point, Mike.
You're missing the point, Mike.
That's the point. You're not in KC.
They beat Miami. The game would have been here.
You're home.
Then KC comes here and they wax them.
after a week off. Last time KC came in here, they won, but game could have gone either way. Couple calls here, a couple calls there. That's a different game. Maybe you still lose it, but you're sitting there. Now it's the playoffs, and now there's even more pressure on KC. How'd they respond to that pressure yesterday?
Not well.
By sharding themselves. I'm just saying.
Initially, then they flipped the switch and scored seven straight times.
Yes, because Bill O'Brien starts going for fake punts and not going for it on fourth and one. What would Bill Belichick have done in those situations?
You know what? Going back, right? In real time, when they faked it, I went, you got to be kidding me. What are you, an idiot? And I thought, so then hours went by and I went, my gosh, they faked a punt on their half of the field. Then I went back and looked again this morning. It wasn't just their half of the field.
It was 30.
It was the 31-yard line. It wasn't like I'm sort of thinking it was out by the 40, the 45. No, the 31. Kansas City. You give Kansas City the ball on your 31? Like now it literally went from 24-zip to 24-14 in like a minute and a half.
Maz, they didn't just blow a 24-point lead. They blew it in one quarter.
It was unbelievable.
They blew it by halftime.
They blew it in like 3 minutes.
That's unbelievable.
They gave up three touchdowns in 3.5 minutes. I've never seen anything remotely like that. And we've seen Seattle choke at the goal line in the Super Bowl. We've seen Atlanta blow a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl.
So listen.
Yesterday was historic.
To the caller, to Murray. Is KC better than New England?
Yep.
Is Baltimore better? Yep. After a week off and they've had to play the week before? I don't know.
Foxborough.
Sort of levels the playing field. I don't think Green Bay is any better than Seattle. They were at home, and they had 2 weeks off, and Seattle had to schlep all over the country. If that game's in Seattle, forget about it. Forget about it.
The last two games that the Patriots played, including that playoff game against Tennessee, proved home field didn't matter here. They weren't that good. I don't know what got into you two. Is this a rib to like needle Patriots fans? Like you should have been here this weekend. Something stinks here. You don't believe this?
Well, don't look at me. I'm not even on Twitter. I don't know what you guys were doing on Twitter.
But
this
you might
weekend.
As well have been with how you're talking about it today.
You're on verbal Twitter.
Yeah.
I still have a hard time believing they blew that Miami game. That's sort of what I'm focused on. I saw Kansas City absolutely crap their pants in Arrowhead yesterday. I went, oh, my God, they could have been hosting the AFC Championship game.
They would have been dialed
in. As soon as Baltimore went down, I went, oh, my God, they blew it. They blew it.
Long commercial-free segment is next. Don't go anywhere.
Boston's home for sports.
Hey, it's...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Third and 9 for Green Bay. Huge play here for the Packers. Rodgers in the shotgun. Three receivers right. Devontae left. Snap to Rodgers. Blitz on. He throws it over the middle. Jimmy Graham's got it. Stumbling close to the first down. He's got the first down. From right to left. Between the numbers, he goes down on the left side. 36-yard line of Seattle. First and 10. Gain of 9. Oh, that was huge.
Well, the play, as you might have heard in the background, is under review now. I don't think there's anything wrong with the catch. I think what they're reviewing is whether he made the line to gain for the first down, Rock.
I think you're absolutely right because the catch looks solid. But it's where that knee goes down and where they consider him down.
And I don't know.
And anything I've seen so far has been inconclusive.
Inconclusive, yes. Matter of fact, I think they got a pretty good spot on it. But the angles we've seen...
I've seen nothing that would overturn it.
After review of the play, the ruling on the field stands as called.
All right.
First down, green down.
First down, 1:48 to go.
And there's the highlight from the last game of the weekend, the NFC game. Packers, Seahawks last night. Your thoughts on that spot? We talked about it before. What are yours out there? Think the Packers got one? Think the... Seattle got screwed? Maybe. It was a kind spot. I do think that the TV line, that yellow line, was about a foot forward of where the real first down line was. And I've seen subsequent pictures that have sort of shown this. So I think he was well short of that yellow line, but I think the yellow line was a little funky. So I think it was a generous spot, but not egregious, not something they could change or should change. Although I did sort of catch my breath when they went back to the monitor and said, well, based on new footage, or what was that?
Yeah, new footage. I never heard that before.
Additional footage we just received. Like, yeah. What's this now? We taking text pages from fans in the stands? Like, where are you getting your additional footage from, dude?
That we've just received from the Seattle sideline.
Just say. So that stood kind spot, but
that wasn't the game though. And you mentioned it earlier; they're in field goal range for Crosby. If you know, even if they're a yard short, or it's inches really, or they go for it in fourth and one and just ice the game. Like I would fully expect them to do a QB sneak with Rodgers and win the game there.
So right, there's still another play, even if they don't get the spot. It's fourth and inches from the 31, and so was it 31 or the 36? I'm sorry, I said 31 before.
It might have been 36.
Yeah, I think it was the 36.
Was it the 36? So that's a little, now we're talking 53, 54. That's a little, you know, rich.
Right, that's long.
That's long, so maybe that's not a field goal attempt. But fourth and inches, you're either going for it on fourth and inches and picking up and closing the game, or getting stopped, or you punt. Seattle's out of timeouts. So, I mean, there's just a lot of game to be played. That wasn't the game. If Seattle got the ball back, there is no question in my mind, without a doubt, Russell Wilson is inside the Green Bay 20-yard line, throwing into the end zone to end the game. And maybe it's complete, maybe it's not. Maybe they come up short like they did against San Francisco in Week 17. Maybe he completes it like he did 3 years ago in the NFC title game, blah, 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 blah.
They make that stop on either of those third downs, the one to Allison that really bailed out a bad throw by Rodgers, or the dart to Adams. Oh, I'm with you. Seattle would have won that game.
Well, they would have been, all I'm saying is they were throwing in the end zone to
end. Oh, he'd have gotten him down there.
He would have gotten him down there. He would have gotten him down there, and then game on. Could have gone either way from there.
Tell you what, I came out of that game, if it's possible, in a loss, thinking he's even better than I thought he was going in, meaning Russell Wilson.
No question.
He is a bad man. He is awesome.
Well, I put in an email to you guys. I'm usually not the good job, good effort, but that he took that team, which isn't very good. He has like one decent wide receiver, two okay wide receivers. Like Lockett's really good and Metcalf, good rookie year. They don't have much on defense. Two players, Wagner, Clowney when he tries, and that's it. That's not a very good team. And they almost won that game.
I mean, incredible, really. It's all about him.
I said it earlier. 4 out of 5 plays, he's just running around. He's either running to pick up yards or he's running to extend a play, and it's a broken play. I'd say only 1 out of 5 times does he go to and run the play, and they run the play that's called in the huddle. 80% of the time in that second half, it was all improvisation from him and his receivers.
And his running,
mostly him.
His running never feels erratic or anything, or like he's flailing. It's his low center of gravity or something. Like, you never feel like he's always just getting out of something, even if like 3 guys were around him.
Tell you what, he's tough too, because there were a couple times he went down at odd angles a little bit, and I thought, ooh, I don't know, that like he's going to be limping or something.
Did you see the one where his leg kind of went like backwards?
Oh man, he's tough too.
So somehow you come out of that game more impressed by the other guy, and Rodgers was clutch at the worst, surgical at the best. And watch out. I still don't love that Green Bay team, but I've seen him look like that before at this time of year and put that team on his back. And it's not putting the team on his back. Like, maybe those days are over, 350 yards, four, you know, like those kind of days, because they do want to run the ball and they're sort of built differently or want to play differently than that. But he was, what, 8 of 10 on third down? Something absurd. When they had to have it, he had it that whole game. And they weren't – some of the balls were wide open, but a couple weren't. You know, that the ball to Davante Adams that everyone's talking about was a legit elite, like, all-time kind of throw.
I mean, I thought the quarterback play in that game is as good as you will see in that league. I mean, the two of them, they were both over 100, I think, in terms of a rating. And it's not like it was a, you know, 50-40 game. I mean, it was a legit football game, and the quarterbacks were great.
Okay, yeah, a couple thoughts here before we go to the top of the hour. Dan and Quincy, you got to be quick, please.
Yeah, I listened to the show on Friday, Thugger, and you kept playing that replay of the interception. I thought it was the Miami pick six that Brady threw. Instead, you were playing the one from Stidham. So we were trying to make a case that Stidham's not the answer, bring Brady back. Well, I can make the case that if he doesn't throw the pick against Miami, we're playing yesterday.
No, Danny.
I play that.
You don't yell. I want Stidham. That's what I'd like them to do. Well,
then throw the. And as far as McDaniels goes, I'm sure there's prospective employers who are watching that brilliant goal line offense that happened against Tennessee. Back into the left 3 times, like the Sapruta film. Are you kidding me? You could have stuck it up Rabel's rear end by bringing in a friggin' guy off the linebacker eligible like he used to do. He used to catch passes on the 1 yard line. They couldn't come up with a play action rollout. I am livid. I couldn't even watch these games this week. I'm sick to my stomach.
That's it, Danny. He agrees with us, Maz. It was there for the taking.
Oh, it was totally there. Again, once Baltimore went down Saturday night, watching that game, how could you watch that and then not say, if they'd just beaten Miami, they'd be home in the AFC Championship game?
Very easy. You realize they sucked all year, and their 12-4 record was kind of fake.
And everyone in the AFC wants to lose. They don't know how to win.
They would have been playing on Sunday with the right to host the AFC Championship game coming off a bye week.
What a gag!
I mean, there are some brilliant players. Mahomes is a brilliant player, and KC has some real explosiveness, and Tennessee is a good story in all of this, but I came away from the weekend saying the NFC is still superior. You know, that Green Bay-Seattle game was pretty flawless.
Yeah, it was a good game.
There wasn't a single turnover, was there? I don't think there was one turnover.
The quarterback had a pick, I know that.
I'm not even sure there was, you know, Hollister almost fumbled on that first or second drive, but other than that, like, it was just up and down good football. San Francisco looked good on both sides of the ball, took care of business. It's just like, you know, good teams playing well in the way it should go. In the AFC, it's like, it's a contest to see who can crap their pants worse. And if you had just stopped Ryan Fitzpatrick, Murray, you could have sat there and just watched the carnage as usual.
Oh, I stand by it. They got what they deserved.
I mean, so that's the thing, is I just can't get by the Fitzpatrick thing. Up 4, not 3, 4, meaning all you had to do was not give up a touchdown with 3 minutes to go to a guy who's played for, I think, just about every franchise in the league. And he goes down the field and carves you up. And not only that, they didn't really have that much trouble getting in.
Okay, so all that's on the board. Just so when you know, a little programming note, the Felger and Maz off-air show returns tonight. Returns tonight. It's presented by Ace Ticket, 6 p.m. sharp on Facebook Live. Maybe the Stitch thing, Twitch thing. What is it?
Twitch. Stitch.
So we're on, for sure, Facebook Live, probably the Twitch deal. 6 p.m. sharp, myself, Ty Anderson, tonight. He'll swear his face off like a drunken sailor. 6 p.m. on Facebook Live. It's presented by Ace Ticket. Join us for that. Join us for the final hour as well. 90 seconds, no commercials. Major breaking news this afternoon in Major League Baseball. The punishments have come down for Houston manager A.J. Hinch and his general manager. They are severe, and that led to further fallout. And that leads to the situation here in Boston, which will not be pretty for Alex Cora. Here's the news. We'll come back and discuss. Don't go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.